Thank you for that. Thank you for being in your place here tonight. We had a great day, and we're thankful for everything that happened. We're going to look at Exodus chapter number 32. Before we get started, just a couple things I do want to reiterate. I hope that you're praying about what you can do to help us with our Christmas gift for Jesus so we can help to get those new buses, at least get one to start with and have some money set aside. Unless more comes in, that would be great, by the way, but a good problem to have. But help, just praying about what we can do to help with that. And then also, just a reminder for all the singles, Friday night, my house, 7 o'clock, we have the Singles Christmas Fellowship going on there. This is a very interesting and very well-known portion of Scripture here, and I want us to look at it tonight. One thing I don't like, fence straddlers, right? Someone that's on the fence about where they stand with things, on the fence about what they're for and what they're against. Some people are just flat out also have become, they're traitors. You know, they were for one side and then something happens and they're for the other side, right? You look in the Bible, the one main traitor was Judas, betrayed Jesus Christ. You look at history, in American history, the founding of our country, Benedict Arnold. He was a traitor to our country. He wasn't when he first started. In fact, he won several very key battles, which helped us in the early days of our fight for independence. And then he traded back to the other side and tried to undo everything he did. But it's good that people know where we stand and who we're for. And, you know, our founding document, the birth of our country, we celebrate it every year. It's July 4th. It's when the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. And we think that's a small thing, but it's not. When these men signed that document, they were identifying themselves as being on the side of a new country and going against their old country. And by the way, that had consequences for many of them. Many of them were rich, and they lost pretty much everything they got for their side in the war. We all know about John Hancock. John Hancock was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. If you look at it, his signature is very big. And they asked him why he made his so big, and he said, because I want to make sure that the King of England sees it and knows whose side I'm on. And I just think that we live in a time where people don't want to be on a side. They just don't want to. They don't want to choose a side. Christianity has that too. We think that we can reach this country. We can reach people by capitulating to the wrong side. We think if we make Christianity more inclusive, that it would be better off. And so we don't want to stand for anything. We want to get up, have a cute little service. Never mention anything that would be controversial. And as I mentioned this morning, when people say things are controversial, what they mean by that is something they don't agree with, okay? And so I think we ought to pick a side, to be real honest with you. In this story here, Moses is going to the mount, and he's getting the Ten Commandments from God. And as he is up on the mount, some very interesting things start to happen. The worst of the people comes out because Moses is no longer there. This thing behind me is kind of freaking me out, by the way. Like, I see myself on the television screen. I feel like I'm on a game show. Right? Hey, welcome to Let's Make a Deal. Behind door number one. How many of you remember that game? If you don't remember it, you'd make a deal, and they had three doors, and if you had like a prize, a good prize, you could trade it in to pick one of the doors. The only problem was behind one of the doors was a brand new car, but behind the other door was a pallet of bricks, right? How many you old timers, the old house we used to live at, over on El Cedro, where Allison lives now, when we first moved in, I don't know if you remember there was bricks all over the wall. Anybody remember that? The story was the people that owned the house, he was on Let's Make a Deal, and he did that, and he won a pallet of bricks. So we had them cut into small pieces, and he literally put them on the walls everywhere. And then when we bought the house, I had to go through and scrape them all off, and I am bitter about it to this day. But I am not a game show host. That this is for the Spanish. They're doing something tonight, so and then it'll be gone. But anyhow, if you want to give me some money, we'll make a deal that way. But Moses is up there, and he's on the mount, and he's getting the Ten Commandments from God. And as he is gone, something very interesting happens. The people come to Aaron, Moses' brother, and say, hey, we don't know where Aaron is. We don't know where Moses is. He's gone. We need a new God. And so Aaron collects gold from all the people, and I hope you caught that phrase as they were reading it, and he fashioned a golden calf for them to worship. Now, when Moses asked him about it, here was his story. It's very interesting. He said that he threw the gold into the fire, and out came this calf. It just came out all by itself. That's called a lie, okay? But so they're down there, and then they have this huge feast, and it's nothing more than a fleshly, immoral party. And so God hears about it, and he's upset. And by the way, we wonder why beliefs are important, because our beliefs lead to a certain style of life. And if you have the wrong beliefs, you're going to have a wrong type of life. It'll embolden you to live a life that's displeasing to God. And so as Moses is up on the mount, God tells him that the people have corrupted themselves and it's time for him to go down there. In fact, it was so bad, God tells Moses, look, why don't I just destroy all these people and I'll start a new nation from you. And Moses, of course, prays and asks God that that's not a good idea, and God gracefully listens to him. But as they go down the hill, they hear the noise of the party and the immorality and everything. Joshua didn't know what was going on. And when he hears the noise, he says, it sounds like there's a war in the camp because the party was going so strong. Finally, Moses gets down there. He breaks the tablets that God gave him. We read that in the story. He gets the false explanation from his brother Aaron. And then Moses has enough, and he asks a very, very, very important question. A question we know, right? Who is on the Lord's side? By the way, the people were rebellious from the time they came out of Egypt. I mean, it was just nothing but problem after problem after problem. And Moses is like, look, why don't we just find out right now who is real? Who is really on God's side? Who is serious about the Lord? Now, why is that important for us? Because anything good that happens comes from somebody who's committed. Who's committed? They know what they're committed to, they know why they're committed to it, and they know who they're committed to. You can't walk around with this mentality that, you know, I'm just kind of half in, half out. Sometimes I'm committed, sometimes I'm on the right side, but if it benefits me at times, I will not be on that side. I'll try to straddle the fence. And by the way, you cannot straddle the fence. You must decide whose side you're going to be on. And I would hope if we heard that question, who is on the Lord's side, we would raise our hands and say, I'm with him. I am with the Lord. Now, how do we know that? Well, I want us to look at the scripture for a few minutes, and I want you to see six indicators that you're with him. Because far too often, we make it so easy for 1 minute to be on God's side, the next minute, no one even knows where we're at. These are things that have been decided in your life. Let me give them to you very briefly. We will not be long tonight. First of all, one of the indicators, one of the decisions that is made is that your commitment to God is decided. It's decided. Look at verse 1. We didn't read verse 1, but I want you to see verse 1 in the chapter here. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Because Moses delayed and was on the mount longer than they thought he would be, their faith started to wane. So what's their answer? Aaron, we need a new God. We need a God to worship. Now that doesn't make sense to me. They see that Moses comes down from the mount, and instead of being concerned about Moses, they want a new God. You know why? They weren't really committed to God in the first place. Apparently, their faith was not in God. Their faith was in Moses. And their faith wasn't in God because they love God. Their faith was in God for what he could do for them. Right? So they wanted someone to lead them. And so if Moses isn't there, hey, it's time to ditch God and bail out on God and have a new God. That doesn't make sense. God didn't bring Moses didn't bring the 10 plagues upon Egypt. God did that. Moses wasn't the one that protected them when the death angel passed over during the Passover. God protected them. Moses wasn't the one that gave them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians when they left so that they not only got to leave Egypt, they got back pay for all that time that they had been here. God gave them that favor. Moses wasn't the one who gave them the pillar of fire by night to protect them and the cloud by day to protect them and to lead them to where they wanted to be. God gave them that. Moses wasn't the one who parted the Red Sea to help them to get away from Pharaoh's army. God did that. Moses wasn't the one that drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. That was God that did that. Moses wasn't the one that promised them a better land to live in that would be theirs. God did that. The problem was they really didn't care much about God. Let's just be honest. The problem was their faith really wasn't in God. Their faith was in Moses, and they had never committed to God. If you read when they came out of Egypt, it took 3 days for them to start griping and backpedaling on God. 3 days. They already started whining. So they had never decided that that was their God. They wanted the trappings that came with being committed to God without actually being committed to God. They were all in on wanting their freedom from Egypt, but they didn't want a relationship with the one who brought them out of Egypt. It's like we mentioned this morning. We preached this morning that, you know, when Jesus was given the truth, the first truth was salvation in Jesus Christ. The rest of it was what God can do in your life after that. But the fact of the matter is, most people don't want that part. They just want salvation. They want to get out of hell free card. That's what they want. But when it comes to actually being committed to God, they don't want that. Now, let me just ask you before we move on. Are you committed to God? Or is he just the one that gave you salvation and you check into church, but once you leave this property, once you're out on your own, you don't really have much to do with God? I would encourage you to be dedicated, and I would encourage you to be committed to God. Don't just be content with coming to church where God is preached about. Don't just be content with owning a Bible where God is explained to you. Don't just be content with serving him occasionally. Don't just be content to occasionally tip in the offering or sometimes, you know, do the right thing. But if it's not what I want to do, I will do my own thing. How committed are we to God? Is that a decision we have made? We must get away from this philosophy, and it's a bad philosophy. You ready? God is a part of my life. There's a word in there that I don't like. Part. Thank you, Terry. Part. No, God is your life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He said, listen, if I'm alive, the focus and the main thing of my life, that doesn't mean we don't have other things we have to deal with, other things we have to take care of. But the focus, and even as we're doing those things, the focus and my love and my desire is going to be for God. Colossians chapter 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Can I just be honest with you? I probably, most of us, and I hope I could be in the group that would be, our life isn't Christ. It is mostly, but we allow interruptions to that. We allow things in there that would not honor him. You know why? Because we've really, look, has your commitment to God been decided? Has it? Because by the way, you're gonna be pushed on it. Yeah, I love the verse in Daniel where Daniel knew that he was going to be questioned and he's brought into a pagan land. And when the first opportunity came for him to compromise, and by the way, there were a lot of young Jewish men that they had brought in who had already compromised, but the first time he had the opportunity to compromise, he didn't, because the Bible says he had purposed in his heart. In other words, he had already decided a long time ago, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, and if it costs me my life, so be it. You know, the sad thing is it doesn't cost us our life. And so we don't decide. But are we committed to God? Number two, has your commitment to Scripture been decided? Look at verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, he clues him in on what's going on. He goes, get thee down. That's okay. This sounds like spouses. For thy people. Okay. You ever notice if you're married, when your kid gets an A, it's like, hey, my child got an A. Right? But if the child gets to marriage and you come home and they did something wrong, it's like, hey, Steve, your son. I'm like, hey, wait, time out. He wasn't my son when he got an A, but now he's my son because he's in trouble. It's like, can we just like, you know, God says, hey, by the way, the way they acted, he probably wasn't just spinning a lie there. They were Moses' people. They were God's people. They hadn't decided. We just looked at that. But he says, get thee down, thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have, verse 8, this is it. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I, what are those two words? Commanded them. Okay? Listen, top of the list in God's commandments, you can't have another God before him. I am your God. They jumped right off on that right away. They went aside out of what God was commanded them. You know, I found this interesting. As Moses is on the mount getting the Ten Commandments, the people are down at the bottom of the mountain breaking most of them. They weren't interested in doing what God said. They weren't interested in following the Scripture. They had never decided that this book right here, this is the guidebook for my life. They have never decided, I'm not going to do anything willingly that goes against the pages of this Scripture. They've never said, you know how I make decisions in life? I make decisions in life based on what this book says. Let me ask you, is that you? Or do we look at things and like, well, you know, let me decide what to do here. Can I find an out? Can I find a spiritual loophole? Things go better when it's like, you know, I don't know, but what is God saying here? Oh, if God says it, that's the decision. Amen. They didn't do that. Moses came down and he physically broke the Ten Commandments. They were morally breaking the Ten Commandments. They wanted the benefits of what God promised them without the responsibility of following what God said to get what he had given to them. They were corrupted. And by the way, the Bible tells us that they had corrupted themselves. What does that mean? That means they had chosen to disobey God. They had chosen to go their own way. The Bible is not, I've mentioned it before, we see the Bible as a buffet, right? By the way, make your New Year's resolutions for January 1st, because I was looking at the different holidays, and January 2nd is National Buffet Day. Apparently, they don't want you to keep those things, right? But we think of it as a buffet. Buffets are great. You know why? You get what you want, and you avoid what you don't want. You go through and say, I'm in on that. Boom. Then for children, they walk by the vegetables and say, I think I'm out on that. So most people look at the Bible like, oh yeah, that part of the Bible, I'm good with that. Whoa, that part of the Bible, I'm not in on that. When we choose to disobey or ignore what God has said, really what we're doing is saying we have replaced him as God in our life. As God in our life, he is our master, right? And if he is our master, how do we know exactly what he wants us to do? How does he lead us? How does he guide us? He guides us through his word. And if we've never come to the point where we decided that that book is everything in my life, well, then you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. And really what you're saying is, I'm not on the Lord's side. I'm not with him. Oh, you can put a bumper sticker on your car. You know, you can put the little fish thing. You can do whatever you want. I don't think you should do that because I've seen you drive. Okay? You might want to, you know, put on there that you're a Presbyterian or something. Okay? But you know, that doesn't make us Christians. When push comes to shove, what decisions do we make? What's the determining factor in my life? It's got to be Scripture, but it is not going to be if we've not decided to do that. Next, the third indicator through a decision is your commitment to example or visibility is decided. It's just very, very simple. Look at verse 26. It's the text we're looking at. It comes after that. He says, verse 26, then Moses stood on the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? All right, who's it? You know, if someone's not, I don't do good with people that don't want to be in on what's going on. Remember years ago, Tim, you'll like this. Years ago, we were, our school basketball team, I was coaching our high school team. We had a really good team. And so we were in two leagues. So in the morning we played in a league, and we won that game. And then we had a game up in Apple Valley. I forgot that's high altitude. And so we didn't have enough seats. So I'm like, look, this team's bad. Well, let's just take six players. We'll beat them with six players. So we took six players. And I forgot, first of all, they had already played a game. Second of all, they were sucking wind. The air was thin up there. And it was a close game. And one of the guys said, two of the guys were having an attitude. And one of the guys, I said, hey, you need to sub. You go in. He goes, no, I'm not going in. I'm like, excuse me? He goes, no, I'm not going in. So I told the other guy, I said, well, you go back in. He goes, nope, I'm not going in either. And I pulled the two aside. I said, let me explain how this is going to work. Either you go back into that game or you're off the team forever. And they're like, no, we're not going. I said, get out of the gym right now. I don't even want to see your face. I kicked him out of the gym. Now, that's not the bad part. You know what the bad part was? We had to play with four guys. And here was what was worse about it. When we put the four guys in, we beat them worse than when we had five. The other coaches look at me like, what's going on? I'm like, don't worry about it. And then it's like, we're running them off the court. I'm like, I should have played with four guys earlier. But look, those guys never played another game. Don't quit out on your teammates. Okay? Let's be committed to what we're doing here. Yeah, I don't know I got in that, but let's. And then he says, here's how you can tell if you're on the Lord's side. Let them come unto me. Make a move. You know why? He wanted others to know, hey, these guys are on the Lord's side. Right? You know what we do? We want to be on the Lord's side. We don't want anybody to know. So you go to work and you hide your Christianity. You know the bad part about hiding your Christianity? It makes it easier for you to violate your Christianity. It's hard to. If you're at work, oh yeah, I go to church, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you've actually tried to talk to them about Christ. You know what happens? If something comes up, they're watching you. What are you doing? See, we can be quiet about things. We could not raise our voice about things, but what good are we doing? I mentioned before, when early days of church, I was working at a paper company, and a couple guys I was witness to, and one of them worked on my shift, the other I had worked on his shift. A couple guys got saved and started serving God later, but one of those guys was on the third shift, and I was on vacation. I came back, and on third shift, there was only five of us, no supervisor. We loaded the trucks. And so they just gave us, you know, hey, load the trucks. When you're done, lock up and go home. So that was it. So I came back from vacation. And they had a television in the break room and a VCR. I remember those. And I came back, and one of the guys came up to me and said, "Hey, Steve, while you're on vacation, we made a decision. Tuesday night is porn night. Last Tuesday, we brought some videos, and we had porn night." Now, see, I could have just said, "I'm not going to go in there." And I said, "You'll never have porn night as long as I'm working. Amen. If you guys do that, I will go turn that in. I'm not going to put up with that." Amen. Now, surprisingly, they didn't give me a hard time because they knew I was a Christian. They probably knew where I stood. But the one guy on my shift that got saved later, who was actually, after I left, was leading Bible studies there. What if I would have compromised? Like, "Will you guys do you? I just won't go to the break room." See, people got to see whose side you're on. And by the way, I never got up and yelled at them like, "Hey, by the way, guys, let me just say something to you tonight. If you're watching porn at home, that wasn't my business. But when they brought it to me, it was my business." And so people got to know where you stand. Don't be a bad example. And let me say this, we'll move on. I don't want to be here late. But if you have children, they're watching you. They're watching you. You're a Sunday school teacher. People see you, right? If you're in the choir, people know. Don't quit the choir, okay? Quit. So I'm struggling. Quit what you're doing. But we want to. And by the way, you know what's funny about all of this? It's like we're okay with it if no one sees us. But there's always someone that sees you. Thank you. Jesus Christ sees you. Right? It's like, you're not getting away with anything. Just be right. Be a visible example. I just despise this new type of Christianity, which is so comfortable speaking about their love for Christ, but their lifestyle really says that they love the world. That's why the world's confused by us. Because they see the bumper stickers. They see the Jesus shirts. They hear the church you go to. And you may not like it or not, but here's how it works. They're going to match all of that against what you do, how you say. You lie at work, you're lazy at work, you do this thing, blah, blah, blah. They're matching it up like, "Hey, there's something wrong here." And you know who gets the blame? Jesus. Well, that stuff just must not be real. No, it's not real in their life. And so we need to know whose side we're on. Number four, your commitment to dedication must be decided. Look what Moses tells them in verse 29. For Moses had told, there's a group that came over, and they had to do some work, and I won't go over the work, but some of the people lost their heads over it. The Lord said, for Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and his brother." The word consecrate means to dedicate, set yourself apart for service. Now, in this instance here, the service they had to do was pretty horrific. But consecrated means we're dedicated to something. You know what the problem is for us? We're just not that dedicated to the Lord sometimes. And so you can tell whose side you're on by measuring your dedication level. And let me say this. People can be dedicated. People are like, "You know, I'm just not really out there about things in my life. But yet I know what team you like." Right? People show what team they like. When we have tailgate Sunday? And everybody wears their sports gear, I see all the horrible teams you like. You know, come on. I know who needs to get right with God. You know, you like that team. I'm not going to say where they're from, but, you know, Parole, Tattoos, Gangbangers. You know. But it's like, you're not ashamed. You know, you're not ashamed. People throw their politics out there. They throw their woke philosophies out there. People, you talk to someone. You want to talk to someone, find out what kind of hobby they have. I've talked to people before, and they don't want to talk a lick. And then you'll see something like, "Hey, is that your car? You're into classic cars?" And then it's like you can't get them to stop talking. And that there's nothing wrong with liking classic cars, okay? Or whatever it is. The point isn't those things are wrong. The point is we don't mind being dedicated to certain things. It's just when we think that when it comes to the Lord, that that's just something we don't throw out there, right? What do they say? Don't talk about politics and religion. Okay, don't talk about politics, but don't talk about religion, but you ought to talk about Jesus. If something's a big deal to you, you know, somebody's a new Christian and God starts working their life and your relatives will see it or someone's going to see it and say, man, what's going on with you? You might want to tell them. Well, you know, I've just made some changes in my life. I thought this would be a better way of living. Just tell them. Say, you know what? Jesus is doing things in my life. What's wrong with that? Let them know whose side you're on. Number five, your commitment. This is a tough one for me, not me. I hope it's not because I'm a pastor when you see what I'm talking about. Your commitment to Christians should be decided. It's like, yeah, that's a tough one for me. I don't like Christians. Just kidding. Church members are great, especially when they're not here. Verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Preadventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. Now look, can I just tell you, it is really, really good that I wasn't Moses. God came to Moses and said, let me just get rid of all these people and we'll start a new nation with you. Right? God was going to destroy all of them and just start over. I would have said, okay, Lord, so where do I stand? So you're going to blow them all up. Should I stand over here while you do that? Come on, and don't look at me like that. You do it too. Yeah, it's like, come on. We you know, it's like watching children. No. Moses cared about them, even though they did nothing but cause problems. But Moses was in on God's people. And he prayed to God and gave an argument why God should not do that. You can't be all in on God if you're not in on God's people. Other Christians are vitally important in your life. You need God's people. That's why a church is important. So you're telling me you never need encouragement sometimes? Ever? There's just something good about having a place you go to on a regular basis where you know people believe like you believe, people have goals and values and believe the same principles, and they're for you. And you know what the great part is? If you need prayer, they'll pray for you. We need each other. And we need each other in the church. Now, I've heard people say, you know what? It's just me and Jesus. Well, Jesus says you need people. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He thinks we should be together. Forsake means to abandon. God says, don't abandon being around each other. We need each other. If you're committed to God, you need to be committed to your Christian brethren. Right? Well, you say, I just love God. Well, what was the greatest command? Love God with everything. Oh, and the second's just like it. Love your neighbor. God says, love me, and then the second is closely tied. They are so close together, you cannot break them apart. Read what the Bible says. Read 1 John. If a man say he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Okay? And so we need to be committed to each other. If you're committed to God, he wants you to be committed to other Christians. Do you know you have something to give people? You do. In a church like ours where we have new people coming in on a regular basis, you know what they need? They need Christian friends. That's why, by the way, that's why our adult classes are very important. Well, Pastor, I don't want to get up early and I the coffee I make at home is better than the coffee that they make in their class. By the way, if you like strong coffee, you should come to the Filipino class. We have strong coffee. It eats through the cup. Okay? It's good. So I don't want to have to do, you know, I'd rather get that extra hour, blah, 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 blah. Do you know it's good to be around God's people in a smaller setting? Because when service time comes on Sunday morning, you know what our concern is? I got to get a seat. But there's other people here and they need you. And so we need other Christians. And when a person starts separating from church and separating from that encouragement, typically their Christianity is going to suffer. And so Moses was all into the point where he's like, I'm going to go to God and get God and his forgiveness for you and to give you another chance. I'm going to God on your behalf. And then lastly, your commitment to the vision must be decided. Go to Exodus 33. He says, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up thence, thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt. Now he says, I want you to take them, and here's what I want you to do. Unto the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. He goes, the land I promised a long time ago to Abraham and his offspring, and that's you. I want you to get into that land. That's why this is important. Verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee, and will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, all the flashlight guys. Verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a... He goes, listen, I'm not going with you. Moses is going to go. Take them and get them to where they're supposed to be. That, do you understand? That's why God brought them out of Egypt. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, he says this, and he brought us out from thence, speaking of Egypt, that he might bring us in and give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. He says, I didn't just bring you out of Egypt to get you out of Egypt. That's step one, to get you out of Egypt, because step two is to fulfill the vision I gave Abraham a long time ago. That's Canaan. That's your own land, your own people, through which the kings would come, and the ultimate king would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to be tied into the future, but they were so caught up in the present, they forgot God's vision of what he wanted to do with them. And God has given us a vision, by the way. And his vision is tied to reaching this world. And you can be in on everything else with God, but if you're on the Lord's side, you have got to be on the side of God's vision to reach our city, our state, our country, this world, and the next generation. That's what God wants. And if we're on his side, that's what we're going to want. Far too many people, they'll come to church for a while, then they'll get into outreach or soul winning, and then after a while, that's like one of the first things that goes. They want to get outside of God's purpose. That's a step downward. And you're not on the Lord's side. You're not completely where God wants you to be if you're not willing to be on his side when it comes to what he wants to do. Look, can I just tell you something? Life's great when you serve Christ, but it's not just about you. There's more to it. And a person that wants a Christianity that's all about them will end up, even as a Christian, being miserable. Because God wants us to do what we can to reach this world. God loved the world, so why? You say, Pastor, I do love the world. Not like that. But God loves the world. He wants us to go out and spread his love. God wants us to share the gospel. God wants us to build disciples that will go out and reach this world. And if we're on his side, you know what we want? We want what he wants. You say, I'm not dedicated to the vision. You need to get on board. You need to get on board. Here's the point. God wants to know whose side you're on this evening. Let's not just play Christianity. Let's just say, God, I'm in. I'm with him. And all of the things he wants, those are the things that I want. All of the things that God wants me to do, those are the things that I want to do. Because I'm with him. Don't think you're going to get through this life without having to make a decision. You have to. You have to. And most people are making decisions by doing this. Which way is the wind blowing? Because we don't want to stand out. But, you know, in the midst of all that immorality and all that was going on while Moses was on the mount, there was a handful of people there that did not like what was going on. And when they got their chance and Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? They stood up and said, me. And it got dealt with. Whose side are you on? And I know, look, you're here on Sunday night. You're not going to say, no, I'm not on God's side. And I think you want to be on his side. But that means we just have to, there's some things we have to fulfill. Amen. There's some things we got to do. And I hope you're willing to do that. Let's stand together this evening. We could stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a minute. I hope that your life is committed to being with him. I hope that we didn't just come to him so that we can have salvation. I hope you don't just come to him because of what he can do in our lives, as we mentioned this morning, and he can do great things. But I hope you're coming to him because you want to be on his side. And you're not afraid to let anybody know that. You know, if someone accuses you of being a Christian, you ought to take that as a badge of honor. Not in a proud way, don't get me wrong, and not in an arrogant way. Some people know we're Christians because we tell them and then we act like something they don't want. But are you with him in every area today? Piano's going to play this evening. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come? Why don't you come?